Good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 on February 2nd, 2021, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County CUB Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely today. Online, we have Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Vice President. Joining us shortly will be Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary. We have John Harlow, our CEO General Manager. Ann Spangler, our General Counsel. Melissa Collins, our Commission and Executive Services Director. Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board. Jenny Rich and Lila Wall, Deputy Clerks of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I'll ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting, while others may require more time. Please indicate you would like to speak by clicking raise hand in the software, or if by joining by telephone today, dial *9 and I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made in the published agenda? I have one, adding item 4D, add at places, amended exhibit B for revising the 2021 non-union salary structure. And then add as item 6C under commission business to talk about general manager compensation. Are there any others?
I think that does it.
Okay. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name, indicate where you are from. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board, and that this ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first is item 2, recognition and declarations. To item 2A, employee of the month for January, Jeff Tabor. I think we have Rob Vaughn here to introduce Mr. Tabor.
Good afternoon. It's a great pleasure to introduce our February 2021 Employee of the Month, Senior GIS Specialist Jeff Tabor. Jeff began his career with the PUD as an apprentice drafter 13 years ago on April 1st, 2008. 2 years later, he was promoted to journeyman drafter, and 4 years after that, in 2014, was promoted to design drafter. On September 14th, 2015, he became our Senior GIS Specialist, which is the title he continues to hold today. In addition to today's honor, Jeff was also recognized as a member of the Team of the Month for April 2018, which was the Outage Map team. In his current role, Jeff has shown great leadership in the GIS workgroup, and all of his coworkers speak highly of him. Jeff has a demanding workload solving technical GIS mapping and data challenges, and works closely with the district's Energy Control Center workgroup to provide them with excellent GIS support. Jeff maintains a very positive approach to his work and is well known throughout many district departments for the cheerfulness and unfailing willingness to help out in any way possible, and is the go-to guy for many of his fellow coworkers in numerous departments. Jeff's many accomplishments include his invaluable participation on the following district continuous improvement project teams: the private bridge tracking CI, major electrical capital projects, district equipment access maintenance program, and the digital equipment records CI. Jeff is also an important contributor to the district's data and information governance program known as DIG. Jeff provides excellent support for DIG in his roles as a record steward for the Distribution and Engineering Services Division and as a data steward for the GIS Maps and Records Drafting Workgroup. Jeff is highly skilled at maintaining an awareness of how upcoming changes to the district's physical plant will affect various departments, as well as the GIS Maps and Records Drafting Workgroup itself. Jeff effectively communicates with other departments what is needed to fully support these changes. As a result of all of Jeff's contributions, it is clear to see why he was nominated for Employee of the Month. I have a heartfelt and very deep appreciation for Jeff being such a significant part of our work group's success. Thank you for this opportunity to speak of Jeff's significant contributions and accomplishments.
Well, congratulations, Jeff. This is when we'd all clap if we were in the office together. So I'll give you a clap. And congratulations. Thank you for all your hard work that you do for us. Do you have anything you'd like to say to us?
I think I am muted, I hope. You guys can hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to receive this. I appreciate all the acknowledgement. I also appreciate all the support and everyone with the kind words. It's been great. Also, thank you to Rob. He's been a great mentor, and I'm blessed to have him as a manager, so I'm very thankful. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Commissioners, any other thoughts?
Well, from what I hear, and I believe it, you're a very, very valuable person, and essential.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's just... Thank you very much for all your good work.
Commissioner Olson here, Jeff. I have had a lot of experience in the area that you're working in. And folks, you know, they read these GIS, DMS, whatever. The work that you're doing is so critical to the overall operation. And I want to commend you because I recognize that. And it's tough. It's really tough because you have stuff coming from you at all times. Sometimes folks aren't as, let's see, how can I put it nicely? You wish that they wouldn't all come knocking on your door at the same time. And sometimes folks managing their schedules, they don't always talk to one another, and then you never know what you're going to get. Anyway, bottom line is you got a tough job, guy. And I commend you, and you deserve this.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, this is John. I'd just like to pile on. This is absolutely well-deserved. You've been a part of so many continuous improvement and just overall improvement initiatives. For ECC and the entire D&E group and really across the district. So again, very, very well deserved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations, Jeff.
Thank you, everybody.
Next, we'll move on to item 3, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda? Please state and your first and last name for the record. And we have one hand up now. So raise your hand if you'd like to make comment. We have Gayla Shoemake. And Gayla, let me help you lower your hand. Allison, it's not letting me do that. Can you lower your hand and let her speak?
Oh, she's muted. Now she's unmuted.
She should be able to. Gayla, can you hear us?
Yes, you unmuted me. Thank you. Hi, commissioners. My name is Gayla Shoemake, and I'm from Edmonds, from the Interfaith Climate Action Group. And I want to strongly encourage the PUD to support the bills currently in the state legislature, which address climate change issues. I noticed that they are not currently listed as supporting on your documents. I'm looking today at 3 specific bills. They're all House bills. HB 1084, 1091, and 1204. 1084 is the sustainable buildings and replacing gas equipment with electrical equipment and appliances, and as part of the transition to 100% clean energy. Utilities are listed in this bill as having an important role and needing to be partners to eliminate fossil fuels. This will do so, have some code changes, and there is also a statewide heat pump program. So it seems like it's right up your alley, and I really strongly to support that. 1091 is a reduction of the intensity of carbon in our transportation fuels. California and Oregon have already passed this, and it seems to me that this was passed in the House, and let's hope it gets through the Senate this time. I would like your support for 1091. And HB 1204, that's the one in electrical vehicles. And of course, with a EV program that you are really supporting, it makes a lot of sense. This would prohibit sale of non-electrical vehicles by the year 2030. In other words, by 2030, any new vehicle that is sold must be an electrical vehicle. So this is, again, trying to get to our 100% clean energy by 2030, which is going to be pretty difficult for our state. But I think each of these three bills would go a ways toward helping to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Gayla. Good to hear from you. I see no other comments. We have one more hand raised.
No, that's me.
Steve?
Steve, yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
He's muted. Looks as if he's muted.
I don't see Steve on here anymore.
I see his phone number.
I'm not sure how we would know that was his phone number. I had him
online with an name. It says just a ratepayer.
Yeah.
Steve, did you want to talk to us today?
Unmute. Steve, unmute.
Mute. I'm trying to.
Yes, you've done it.
I apologize for the delay there. My fault. Commissioners, while it's desirable to do things to help both our economy and the environment, two of the House bills that you just heard addressed to are nothing more, and I've told you this before, than a tax on people who are least able to afford it, a tax that will in effect do nothing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, whether or not they are bad. Justification that Oregon and California have done something is certainly not, and I repeat, not a reason why you should consider supporting these House bills. I urge the commission to think about all the ratepayers, not just the Greens, that can afford these toys that do nothing to really address the issues at hand. I urge you again to support not supporting these two bills. It was 1091 and I think 1093. Anyway, investigate carefully, please. Thank you, commissioners.
Hey, Stephen, I don't think you read your full name into the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't think I did either. For the record and for my comments today, my name is Stephen Keeler. I live in Edmonds and I'm a ratepayer.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler. Good to hear from you also.
Thank you.
Okay, I see no other hands up. So next we'll move to item 4, our consent agenda. 4A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of January 19th, 2021. 4B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. 4C, consideration of certification / ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. And 4D, consideration of a resolution revising the non-union salary structure table in certain portions of the salary administration program. Did I catch the item we are adding?
That goes under 6C.
Okay.
Commissioner Logan, I believe that this is an amended item at places. Is that correct?
That's correct. You're right. It's an amended. Yeah. We have an amended item for 4D, right?
Yes, at places.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments or questions from the public about our consent agenda? If so, please raise your hand. Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
No,
I have none.
Okay, hearing none and seeing no questions from the public, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. Next, we have item 5, our CEO General Manager report. Do you have a report for us today, John?
I do. Few things to update the board on. And I'm going to start with some great news. Our call center reported a 95% service level last week, which is phenomenal. Keep in mind that their target is 75%. And the 95% comes at the last week of the month, which is always higher than usual or average call volume. So again, just outstanding performance by our CSR and call center group. Functional team had put together a continuous improvement review or process around our district claims process. And this included our customer service and finance and legal and some field staff. And they completed the process, and it will end up saving us about $20,000 a year, but even more importantly, should truly improve customer experience in a great way. And that's the process if a customer reports a claim from, damage to their appliances or property, and how we process that and reconcile or resolve the issue. So great work by a cross-functional team. Again, an update that the NERC compliance team has been preparing for the start of the 2021 virtual mock audit. Opening introductions and data submittals will kick off on February 8th. So that's coming up here this week, or next week, this week, next week. Also, from our customer service group, scams are on the rise. And so they've initiated some additional customer education and outreach. We provided 1,000 scam awareness flyers dropped off at all the local food banks. Our CSRs have reached out to approximately 70 agencies and organizations to partner in scam education and communication awareness with members. And the IVR has scam messaging upfront, and it's reinforcing during any holds that our customers are on with the IVR. In our D&E group, the AMI Technologies Department has been created. The standards is working with standard system protection and controls, and the line department deploy S&C trip savers in East County. And these are single phase reclosers that should help improve reliability on some of the long laterals out there where we have pretty long duration outages if they do get a tree or some device that trips that circuit out. This week we will begin on upgrading the two lattice towers crossing I-5 and I-405 in Linwood. This work is being done to allow installation of a fiber optic cable as backup communication for Swamp Creek. And our standards has created material IDs and ordered 115 KV directional fault indicators at the request of district servicemen. And this came out of our January storm after action review, that fault indicators will make it easier to patrol and troubleshoot certain portions of our transmission system. And this is something that the district has done for a number of years. Each time we have a storm, we put together an after action review where we call in really a pretty sizable cross-functional group of folks to get feedback on what went well and what where we can improve. And this is just one item that came out of that discussion that we are going to move forward on to improve our ability to reduce outage times. AT&T was our first carrier to sign the small cell license agreement. And we have about just shy of $1 million in our semi-annual invoices for the wireline attachments. We also extended our earliest return to the office date. That was originally, as you recall, March 1st, and we've extended that to July 1st. In addition, we have a continuous improvement team that is evaluating when we will reopen our community offices and the electric building for walk-in and face-to-face customer interactions. And lastly, just wanted to follow up to a recent request for information on the process, pros and cons, costs, et cetera, to move to a 5-member board. Staff will be meeting to put information together for a future update to the board sometime in the late spring. And that's it.
Any questions or comments, commissioners, for John and his report?
No, I have none.
All I'll say is that, well, thank you for looking at the 5-member option. Looking forward to see what we learn. I'll say that my wife and I both had our first scam calls for the PUD in this past month on our cell phones. And I can see if you don't know that the PUD would never call you, how that could be upsetting to be get a phone call and say that unless you pay, your power is going off in 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's incredible how much those have increased over the last few months. It's frustrating and scary. You're right, Sid. It's hate hearing that our customers are getting those calls.
And congratulations to the call center too. That's phenomenal. I will say every time I've called, which is only a few times, I've always had complicated situations and they've always been able to resolve my complicated item. So
may I ask Commissioner Logan, how did you deal with it when you had that call?
I hung up.
You just hung up. Okay.
I bought the 10th word.
Yeah. Do you report those when they happen?
I didn't. I get so many fake phone calls they're always from different numbers, even if it's the same organization. I think they fish. I think the number that you see is not the number they're calling from. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Okay. Any other questions for John on his report?
I have none.
Okay. Next is item 6, commission business. 6A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I also attended the safety breakfast. It's reported that Commissioner Logan did it. I did as well.
Me too.
All three of us.
I didn't realize that 3/4 of it would be exercising.
I don't have any reports. Just a comment. You know, we talked this morning about rate schedules and changes, and I am really all for making sure we get out the information, what we expect to see in the next 5 years. I don't necessarily on board with adjusting schedules for that, but we should be as transparent as possible. And since we know this data now, we're putting this in our budget. I think we should always make sure of pushing that information out for both our commercial and our residential customers. Anything else under commission business? Not hearing any. Next is item 6B, commission event calendar. Are there any changes to the event calendar, commissioners?
I have none.
I just see that we're going to be looking at redistricting at our next meeting. So that'll be interesting. Next, we have item 6C, a discussion of our CEO general manager's salary. So I guess I'll go first. We reviewed data today in executive session, and you know, we are the 13th largest public utility in the nation, and not surprisingly found that there was some disparities between the market and the actual pay. And I'm pleased that we had such a rich set of data to look at, and I appreciate Allison Jubb and her team for putting this all together. We asked for this information 2 weeks ago. Commissioners, do you have any other comments or?
This is Commissioner Olson. Yes, I do thank Allison Jubb and her staff for the work that they did. And just to expand on the analysis that they gave us, they used comparable, they looked in the market for comparable salaries. But they looked nationally within the large public power community, regionally, and multiple other survey studies. And we were provided with ranges that were potential ranges that were over $500,000, up to six or seven. And we discussed the rationale for what would be the best fit for what I believe, personally, I believe is market for the Snohomish PUD CEO. And I believe we've done our due diligence. I believe that an adjustment is warranted because right now the level that our CEO is at is clearly way out of market. And we need to remain competitive.
Commissioner Wolf, do you have any comments or would someone like to make a motion?
You have the motion in front of you.
I do. Mr. President, you want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Now?
Yes.
I move that the board authorize an amendment to Section 3 of the existing employment contract between the district and the CEO general manager to provide for a new annual base salary of $513,540 effective March 1, 2001, in lieu of the average base pay percentage increase of the non-union employees plus lump sum payment authorized in the district's pay for performance matrix that is provided in the contract for 2021.
Commissioner Olson, you said effective March 1, 2001.
I need
to correct that date.
2021.
I apologize. Yes. Do I correct the effective date to March 1, 2021?
Thank you.
And I will second.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on the motion? Okay. Again, we had thorough analysis and I feel very comfortable with this market adjustment. Well, hearing nothing else, no other comment, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we have item C, our governance planning calendar. Item 7, our governance planning calendar, 7A. Is there any changes to our governance planning calendar?
I just would like for us to try to get a date for when we're going to get information from the government affairs department about all the options and procedures related to expanding to a 5-member board.
I think John just mentioned that in his briefing, that would be coming this spring. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a team pulled together that's working on pulling all that information together, Commissioner Wolf, and we'll be scheduling a commission meeting date to have that team present, hopefully, or it will be in the spring. So I would say the April timeframe, and I hope I'm not making that too early, but I would consider April, spring, so in and around the April timeframe.
Okay, thanks for emphasizing that. I somehow missed that earlier.
No worries.
Is there any further business to come before the board today, commissioners?
I have none.
Okay. Hearing none, it is 2 p.m. and our meeting is now adjourned. Stay healthy, everyone.